to be seen all around. The very stars were shut out of view and were no longer able to serve to guide the vessel's course. As the man at the masthead hoarsely cried out, "Breakers ahead," and the crew furled the sails, the helmsman turned the wheel. What was the captain doing all this while? The old sailor was poring over his charts, glancing at the compass and loudly giving his orders. What can he mean by looking so often and so eagerly at that map-looking thing of his? That is his chart by which his course is guided. He is searching to find where he is, how he may steer his ship in safety to keep clear of rock here and shallow there. He wants to make a good passage through the channel, save his crew and his cargo, and at length gain the harbor. So says our Lord, search the scriptures. Oftentimes we can't see where we are going. We are in a fog, as it were, and we can't seem to see the step in front of us. And in those moments, it causes us to give up hope. We can't see where we're going. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ says, search the scriptures. Yes, but everybody else is going in a different direction. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ says, search the scriptures. Yes, but the storm is so bad. You know, all we want to do is just abandon ship. And the Lord says, turn to your charts. Search the scriptures. For if you were in a storm, then the scriptures will lead you to the safe haven. If you are in the storm, the scriptures will bring you safely to the harbor of rest. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Word of God. And He is the one that can give us the words that we need to give us comfort in times of sorrow, the words that we need to give us hope in times of despair. He is the one that can give us the words we need to give light in a time of darkness. And the Lord says, search the scriptures. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Father, we are thankful again for this day and for this time together, Lord, and we pray that you would continue to help us, Lord, as we search the scriptures. We pray for all those that are unwell at this time, Lord. We pray that you'd be with Alan and Anne at this time. I know that Alan's still struggling with his cough, Lord. I pray that you would be with Bill in South Africa, Lord. I know that Peggy has asked for prayer for him on a number of occasions, Lord. And I just pray that you would just help them out there. For all of those that could not make the service today because of the snow, we just pray that you would bless them at home, Lord, and that they would be encouraged from being able to come around your word today. Father, I pray that you would bless us and speak to our hearts. Father, we are challenged. We are commanded to search the scriptures. You know, it's incredible how many times we and how much time we spend on Google searching for a whole host of things, searching for answers to this, that, and the other, searching for recipes, searching for symptoms and what have you. But we are commanded to search the scriptures. That's where we find the help that we need. Father, we recognize that spiritually we are in desperate need of help in these last days. So would you provide that help that we need today? And would you help us to recognize what we need to do in order to search the scriptures correctly? Father, we just ask now that you'd speak to our hearts and help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have got a favorite author? How many of you got a favorite author? One of my favorite authors from a secular point of view, I know everybody's going to judge me now and say, well, your favorite author ought to be God and that should be the Bible. And I get that. One of my favorite authors was Lee Child. And I loved the Jack Reacher books. And I was gutted when they made a film. Jack Reacher was 6'4" and they cast Tom Cruise, who was like 5'2". I was like, he was not Jack Reacher. But every time, you know, there was a new, get the new Lee Child book. When I was little, Alistair MacLean was my favorite author. And I used to love reading those, you know, some of those old Guns of Navarone and all of those kind of boxes. And I know you're thinking, how sad as a child. But Jo's favorite author when she was young was Enid Blyton. And, The Faraway Tree and, The Secret Seven and The Famous Five and all of that stuff. It was brilliant. And why I'm saying all of that to say this, when we have a favorite author, we can't wait for the next book to come out. Sometimes you even have a picture, not just of the character that they're writing about, but you kind of in your mind have a picture of the author themselves. And sometimes we can be a bit disappointed then when we finally get to see the author in person, like, oh, that's what he looks like. But when it comes to searching the scriptures, we will never be disappointed with the storyline. We will never be disappointed with the author himself. And whilst reading a secular book might pass the time, reading the scripture has a far more eternal benefit than just reading a secular piece of work. If you fall in love with God's word, you fall in love with God. If you fall in love with God, you fall in love with God's word. And it's kind of cyclic, because the one leads to the other, which leads to the other. So it's self-perpetuating. You fall in love with God, you want to read his word. You read his word, you fall in love with God. And because you fall in love with God, you want to read his word. And because you read his word, you fall in love with God. And because you fall in love with God, you want to read. You get the point. Search the scriptures. Seek ye out of the book. So how do we do this? How do we search the scriptures properly? You know, properly. I know some people say, oh, well, what you do is, you know, you turn the book and you go, right, that's what I'm going to do. What if you come to the piece of scripture where it says that Judas went out and hung himself? Oh, I'd better check something else. That did not do us it quickly. There's a proper way to search the scriptures. I understand that on times that we can be flicking through and the Lord will bring out a passage of scripture so big as you think, oh my days, that is speaking just for me and that's perfect for what I'm going through right now. But let's have a look at how we can systematically search the scriptures to get the most out of what we are trying to glean from these pages. First of all, we can't just come to the scripture and haphazardly just start reading. There has to be a time of prayer. And the first thing we need to do is have a time of confession. And we need to confess. 1 Peter 2:1, and you might say, well, this is an odd scripture to go to in terms of confession, but you'll see where I'm going now. 1 Peter 2:1-2 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It is impossible to search the scriptures properly with an impure mind. How many times have you come to read a passage of scripture and all of a sudden your mind starts wandering and you start thinking of something else and you start kind of drifting a little bit? You know, we have to come to the scripture and lay aside all malice. Lay aside all guile. Lay aside all hypocrisies. Lay aside all envies and evil speaking. The word lay aside there means to put off, to cast off, to literally throw away. This word was used to describe stripping off filthy garments and throwing them. Have you ever done that? You ever come in from maybe working in the garden and you can't wait to like get those stinking clothes off, and there's almost like a ritual. You take those clothes off and they don't just get placed into the laundry basket. You're like, oh, I'm done with them, thank goodness. Oof. And that's basically what this is saying. Lay aside, grab it, grab a hold of it and throw it. Lay aside, get rid of it. We are to remove bitterness and evil behavior from our lives. And when these things exist in our hearts, we'll struggle to search the scriptures. It won't come naturally, because bitterness and all of that kind of malice and evil speaking just poisons the soul. Guile is like a dead weight and is meant to be cast off. Guile is deceit or treachery. We're to get rid of it. It'll be difficult to minister to people or demonstrate the love of Christ if we have guile in our lives. Malice is from the word, which means wickedness and depravity and naughtiness. And we need to get rid of all of that. We're to come to search the scripture and confess our sins to the Lord. Evil speaking means defamation. It's hard to be aggravated with somebody and to have bitterness towards somebody and then come to the scriptures when the Lord says, love those that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Bless and curse not. When in your heart you're like, oh, stinking, what a thing, wait till I see that. We've got to get rid of all of that. You know, you'd be surprised how many Christians struggle with bitterness. Let me tell you something. Bitterness does not affect the person you're bitter at. Bitterness only affects you. That is the one thing that, you know, like I've said this before, you know, Eve had that phrase, I'm living in their heads rent-free. Well, that's what happens. The person you're bitter at is living in your head rent-free. And you are aggravated with them, and all that's doing is just eating you up inside. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to kind of, you know, if you've been to them and you don't want to put things right and you've tried to sort it out and you can't do it in the biblical way, but what you can do is gain victory by giving it to the Lord. Otherwise, you're just going to be bitter with that person for the rest of your life. We have to lay it aside. God's word is crucial if we are to mature, if we are to grow, if we are to be dedicated and consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we've got to be like a brand new baby. When you think, I love this, you know, oftentimes you think, oh, as a baby desires sincere milk of the word. And we kind of say, oh yeah, but that's just talking about the babe in Christ, the Christian that, you know, as he starts off and then he can only understand small things. But I love the idea of the innocence of a baby and the fact that a baby is an empty vessel. You know, when Lily was born, it was like, didn't I really have a personality as such? It wasn't like, oh yeah, she's just like her mother and in the way in which she looks or the way in which she talks or the way in which she acts. And all she reacts to that exactly the same way as her father does. She was a baby. She ate, slept, and pooped. That was it. That's what babies do. But she was just an empty vessel in that regard. And all she desired was milk. Christians have the opportunity to just be empty vessels. When we confess our faults to the Lord and we give the Lord the sins that he paid for on the cross of Calvary, then we can be like that baby. That innocent baby, empty vessel, that just desires the milk of the word, that just desires to be fed, constantly fed. The word desire means to long for, crave, to pursue with a passion or a love. You know when babies desire milk, because they let you know. They won't just sit there and go, I'm a little bit hungry. She's normally here by now. By now, they've normally picked me up and kind of given me a bottle and my tummy's rumbling a bit. That's not how they operate. They just go, wah, wah. Why? Because they want to get attention to say, I desire that milk. Oh, that we would have a desire to study the scripture, to search the scripture. When we confess our sins to the Lord, to come to the scripture and to feed upon it, there's a freedom in that. Psalm 119:45 says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Or maybe not. Yeah, there it is. There's no screen in front of me, so you've got to give me a little bit of leeway. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The psalmist proclaimed a freedom, a liberation, if you like, that he experienced when his focus was upon the word of God. And that truth is found in the New Testament, as you just saw. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of the scriptures help us to know what is truth. There is so much disinformation in the world today. You know, you haven't got to watch the news for very long. And it's really interesting. If you watch conservative type of news channels, you get one side of the narrative of what's going on in the world. And if you look at the liberal news channels, you get a completely different narrative of what's going on in the world. Well, do you believe there's so much disinformation about? You know, the Democrats spent 4 years telling everybody that the Russians stole the election and Trump shouldn't have been in office. But then when Trump said, oh, the election was rigged, they said, no, it's impossible for the elections to be rigged. Nobody could ever do that. And you're like, well, what's true? Were they rigged or weren't they? But there's a freedom in the scripture. Depending on what color glasses you're wearing will depend upon how you view the media and what stories you believe. You know, they talk about disinformation and false news on social media. The BBC have been doing that for centuries. I've been wrong that long, I understand that. But they've been doing it all the time. Because there'll always be a slant to however they want to present a story. But you don't get that in the scripture. There is a freedom by reading the Word of God. You know, you might face intimidation in your life of being a Christian. You might be hesitant to share the gospel with people because of what others might say. But can I just say this? There is a freedom from the Word of God. And whatever man says to us, God always has an answer for it. When people tell us that we are, that there is no God, that we are just wasting our time for believing in God, the Bible says actually there is a God. And the fool has said in his heart that there's no God. When people tell us that we are worthless and there's no worthless at all, the Bible says actually there is a worth to you because God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son just for you. That if you would believe in him, you'd have eternal life. So when the world says you're worthless, the word says no, you're not. When the world says to us that God does not care, if there's a God, why is this happening? If there's a God, why is this going on? If there's a God, why is there cancer? If there's a God, why is there famine? If there's a God, why are there hurricanes? If there's a God, why? He doesn't care. But the Bible says if we cast our cares on him, we can. Why? Because he does care for us. When people tell us to just give in to peer pressure, what have you got to be so narrow-minded for? Just give in. Just do what everybody else is doing. Don't worry, about what your views and beliefs are. Just go with the flow. When the world tells us to give in to peer pressure, the Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. Walk away. Have nothing to do with it. When people tell us to just get with the times, to accept the new norm, to accept the new norm, to move with the times. Don't be so archaic. Don't be stuck in the past. You know, things have moved on now. When the world tells us to conform to their image, the Bible says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we search the scriptures, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are to lay aside malice, evil speaking, bitterness, hypocrisies, lay all that aside and desire the word of God as a newborn baby desires that milk. And when we do that, there's a freedom, there's a liberty, there's a liberation. So there has to be confession, but there also has to be consistency. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, my days. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes we can be a little bit lazy when it comes to our Bible reading. Sometimes our Bible reading can be a little bit careless or haphazard. Lazy and haphazard Bible study will not produce a Christian who is mighty in the scripture. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. When you think about it, there are some people here that have been Christians for a very, very long time. I've been at the church here now for almost 17 years. I've been called to the ministry for about 20 years. Yeah, it'll be 20 years next year, in 2023. And I've been saved for about 30 years, almost. I've heard a lot of sermons in my time. So for those who've been saved and they're in their twilight years, you've probably, I don't know where to look now, you've probably heard a lot of sermons as well. And for the most part, the sermons that we've heard have been in line with the scripture, and they've been, you know, they've been spot on, and you know, they've encouraged us, and they've helped us, or they've convicted us, or they've challenged us. But in some cases, I've heard sermons that have not been scriptural at all. And I've literally sat there and thought, oh my days, you know, it bugs the life out of me. When you go to a funeral and the person conducting the funeral does not share any gospel at all. Well, they'll answer for that when they stand before the Lord. Oh yeah, but you don't upset the family, and you know, there's ways you can still share the gospel with people, even if their loved one didn't know the Lord as their Savior. So I've heard some messages that have not been scriptural. But what's been good, you know, I remember one time we had a visiting speaker here, and he was booked before I came to the church, so he was already like in the booking, and he was miles off. I remember somebody asking him a question. It was John Griff, actually, asked him a question. And he answered it, and it was completely wrong. But I'm thankful the church knew their Bible enough to go back and say, well, no, actually, this is what the scripture says. You're not right in what you're saying. Anytime that we hear something that we're not sure about, that ought to spark the interest to go back to the scripture and search it. I always say, you search the scriptures for yourself. You know, don't just take my word for it. And if I'm wrong and you think I'm wrong, then you come and see me and I'll put you right. So, but search the scripture for yourself. You know, every Christian ought to have that attitude. Oh, right, okay, is that what I said? You know, I'll read a commentary and a commentator will say something and I think, I'm not sure if that sounds right, so I'll go back to the scriptures and well, that, even in the scripture, that doesn't quite meet up with what that says, but I know that you kind of believe that, so you're going to say that to prove a point. That's not what we're meant to do with scripture. And that's what the Bereans were like. That's what they did. They searched the scripture daily. Paul said something and they went, okay, we'll have a look at that. So they went back to the Old Testament and said, actually what Paul is saying lines up with what the scripture says. They had the right attitude in their consistency for searching the scripture. And that ought to be our attitude. There ought to be a consistency for us to search the scripture every single day. You know, if you've heard something in a message and you've written it down, then chew upon it all week. Go back and look at the scripture and do reading before the verse that was spoken on, or after the verse, or the book before, or the book, whatever it is, just search for yourself. These people received the word. The word received there means listen, to give ear to something, to embrace, to make something their own, to be teachable. James puts it this way, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Sometimes we're just not teachable. I know the Bible says, but that's the attitude that we have. But we are to be consistent in our study of the scripture. We are to search the scripture daily and receive it. Sometimes we just need to slow down and see what the Lord is saying to us. We are to be slow to speak. That means, the Greek word there literally means to be dull, to be tardy. We are to be slow to speak. Charles Swindle once found himself with too many commitments. in too few days. And he got nervous and tense about it. And he recalled in his book, Stress Fractures, he said, "I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and tell you really fast.' Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, 'Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly.' I'll never forget her answer, 'Then listen slowly.' May we learn, too, to listen to the Lord slowly. The Bereans were teachable people. They were greatly blessed because of their attitude and because of their actions. People who are teachable don't have a know-it-all attitude. They're prepared for, you know, to listen to the Lord when the Lord says, 'Actually, you're doing that wrong. Actually, that's not right. Actually, you need to be doing this.' They don't have a know-it-all attitude. They were receptive to the Word of God. But not only were they receptive to the Word of God, they were eager to learn the truth. You know, there ought to be a consistency in our study in the Scripture and our search in the Scripture, because we are eager to know the truth. We are desperate to know the truth. They received the Word with readiness of mind. The phrase readiness of mind is from the Greek word prothumia, which means with eagerness, enthusiasm, with zeal. These people were excited about the gospel message. Can I say this today, that the church, Christendom as a whole, is not excited about the Word of God anymore? And you know they're not excited about the Word of God because it's being changed so much. There ought to be an excitement when we come around the Word. Matthew 13:23 says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that beareth the word, that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There ought to be an excitement when we come to the Word of God. "Yeah, but you don't know what it's like to read 2 Chronicles and Leviticus." And there's still an excitement when you come to the Word of God. Let me tell you something. All those lists are there for a purpose. But we just want to get through it. You know, and they're bringing items to the tabernacle. And they bring, it's the same items. Why have you got to tell us 12 times? It's the same items. But there's a purpose to it. But instead of being excited about, "Oh, right, okay, why has God done this? And, you know, why has the Lord obviously found it necessary to repeat this so many times?" We're like, "Oh! Copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. Ditto, 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 ditto. Let's just get to the next page." We just need to slow down. Can you be excited when you're reading lists? Can you be excited when you're reading a list of names? Yeah, you can, because sometimes right in the middle of all of that, there's a gem. And you're like, "Wow." But when we just rush through, we fail to slow down. We need to be receptive. We need to be eager to learn the truth. They were excited about the message. They searched the Scripture to see if what Paul told them was true. And Paul welcomed that. He welcomed that because he knew that his message would be confirmed by their search. Why do you think that there are people that don't want you to read the Bible? The Jehovah's Witnesses are not encouraged to read the Bible. They're encouraged to read the Watchtower. You know, the Catholic Church did not want the Word of God to be translated for the common man to be able to read it. Why? Because they knew then that the power would be in the people's hands and the power would be stripped away from those who were interpreting what the Latin said so that they could control the people. Listen, the Scripture sets you free. And if anybody reads the Scripture with that open mind, there will be freedom to be found. Whether it's a Jehovah's Witness, whether it's a Mormon, or whether it's a Catholic, or whether it's a Buddhist or a Muslim, whatever it is, the Scripture says, "And the truth shall make you free." The examination of the Bible establishes whether a message is true or false. You know, some people fear people searching the scripture. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have heard this? How many fear nots are there in the Bible? 365. I have heard that so many times. Preachers say there's 365 fear nots in the Bible, and that's, you know, that's one for every day of the year. There's not 365 fear nots. If you put do not be afraid, be not afraid, fear not, fear ye not, do not fear. If you put all of that together, I think it comes around 200 and something. But I have heard so many times, it's good preaching. But can I say this to you? If there's only one fear not in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ said, that would be good enough to cover the whole year anyway. But what happens is preachers say something because it makes good preaching, and then when people search the scripture, they're like, well, that's not true. So what else have you said that's not true? Search the scripture for yourself. That's what the Bereans did, and they found out that what Paul was saying was actually the truth. Martin Luther said, I study my Bible like I gather apples. First, I shake the whole tree that the ripeness may fall. Then I shake each limb. When I have shaken each limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search the Bible as a whole, like shaking the whole tree. Then I shake every limb, studying book after book. Then I shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters. Then I shake every twig, or a careful study of the paragraphs and sentences and words and their meanings. That's a good practice for us. You know, sometimes we get caught up with the, let's read the Bible in a year. I would much rather you take 5 years to read through the Bible in one go. And take your time doing it so you're not just blasting through it to get a tick in the box. Study. Have a desire to be receptive to the Word. To learn the truth. They search the Word daily. They weren't occasional readers. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. And then finally, not only does there need to be a consistency, there needs to be a commitment. It takes time. I understand that. It takes time to read the scripture. It takes time, and we've said this right the way from the very beginning of this series of messages. It takes time and effort. And sometimes it's going to take a change in our daily routine so we can make the time. Because we make the time for a whole host of things through our day. And we manage to fit that in. So there needs to be a commitment. I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. I will never forget thy precepts, for thy word hath quickened me. God's word had breathed new life into the psalmist. God's words are not merely legislative, they are executive. God said, light be, and light was. He said, let the sea bring forth abundantly, and they did. When the word was made flesh, he dwelt among us. It was the same. The incarnate word had instant executive power. When the leper came and the Lord said, if thou wilt, canst make me clean. He said, I will be clean. When the howling wind was buffeting that ship, and while the Lord Jesus Christ slept in the boat, when he woke, he simply said, be still, and there was calm. When he stood by the tomb of Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days and whose body was in the present, was in the state of decomposition, he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he arose. God's word is alive. As God's word is stored in our memory, then it can be used by the Holy Spirit to quicken us. Have you ever noticed that you read a passage of scripture that day, first thing in the morning, and suddenly at some point through that day, you're like, oh, my days, wow, I never realized I would need that at that point. How can we hide God's word in our heart if we're not looking at God's word with our eyes? I am thine. If we are his and we store those words in our heart, thou shalt not seal, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. God's word commands us, and God's word quickens us, and God's word changes us. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The psalmist stakes everything on a threefold proposition. He says, I belong to you, Lord. I am thine. You took care of me. You looked after me in the greatest psychological needs. You helped me. You calmed my mind when I was all over the place. I belong to you. You know, when Hannah first went to America and went to Bible college, the worst thing that for us was the fact that she didn't really belong anywhere. If she was ill, who did she go to? You know, the school didn't really help. She was too far away from home, and there was that sense of, I don't really belong, I don't really fit in. And for times, even though she was surrounded by people, she'd say she just felt isolated. She felt alone and even felt vulnerable. Because at the time of need, there was nobody really there to help her. But then when she married Daniel, suddenly she belonged. She fit in. She was with somebody that had promised to take care of her, to look after her. And she had that sense of belonging. The psalmist said, I belong to you, Lord. I'm yours. I know you care. I know you understand me. I know you love me. For anyone to get to me, they got to get through you first. I belong to you, Lord. And because I belong to you, it means that everything's going to be okay. He says, save me. And that reduces things to basic, to two words. That's all it takes, a two-word prayer, save me. I don't know what your need is right now. I don't know what you need to be saved from. I don't know, maybe there are people listening online who have never accepted Christ as their Savior and they need to be saved. Maybe you are struggling with something in work that you need to be saved from. Maybe you are struggling with something at home that you need to be saved from. Maybe you are struggling with something in your health that you need to be saved from. Can I say this? You belong to the Lord if you know Him as your Savior. And whilst He might not take the situation away, whilst He might not change the situation or the circumstances, He can change our attitude in it. And He can help us with His presence through it. I am thine, Lord. I belong to you. Save me. Help me. I have sought thy precepts. You know, the psalmist may have stumbled in his efforts, and he may have been feeble at times. He may have made mistakes, and his falls may have been frequent. But his motive was right. I am thine, O Lord. Save me. Can never underestimate the power of searching the Word of God. How incredible to know that we belong to Him. How incredible to know that He saved us from sin. And He can save us, not from difficulties, but in difficulties. Can I just challenge us? Those here in the church and those watching online, let's not be casual readers of the Word of God. This is not a magazine just to flick through and then put down. This is not something that is like just an ornament on the coffee table that we pull out when we got visitors so they think that we're super spiritual because our Bible's always on show. We're meant to search the Scriptures. When we confess our sins and we put away all of those things and we desire the milk of the Word, like a baby desires that milk, there's freedom to be found. The truth sets us free. Free from the lies of the world. Free from the hatred of the world. Free from the mockery of those that think they know better, who once called us friends. But there needs to be a consistency. We need to search the Scriptures daily. There needs to be a desire to learn the truth, to know the truth, to apply the truth to our lives so that when it's stored in our hearts, at those moments that we need it the most, the Lord brings it to our remembrance. It's going to take a commitment. With anything in life, if we want to be good at something, we need to keep doing it. We need to keep practicing until it becomes a habit. You know, when I first started learning to play the organ, I hated it. It was just so many things you had to think of, and you know, these notes, you know, you had to learn where the notes are in, and there's some notes on a line were different notes of those on a space, and then literally you like one finger. But then after a while, if you watch Steve sometimes, if Steve wants to change the last hymn, or he's playing, you think, oh, we'll change that. If you watch Steve, he's actually texting Josh. Whilst he's playing, Josh will change the last hymn. How can he do that? Because of practice. He doesn't look where his fingers are going. He just knows where they are. He knows where the notes are. I think he's texting Josh, unless he's checking his Bet365 account. But it's practice. I'm saying that to say this. He doesn't even think about it. He just does it. Same with the car. How many of you think, right, clutch, gear, lock, mirror, signal, maneuver? You don't think, well, you just do it. It becomes natural. The more we practice searching the scriptures, the more natural it'll become, to the point where we, not that we don't think about what we're reading, we don't think about the action of doing it, because it just becomes second nature. Search the scripture. If we do that, there's freedom to be found. Because we need that help today. We need that encouragement today. We need that courage that only the Lord can give us today. We need to know him more today than we've ever known him before. And the only way we can do that is by searching the scriptures. Seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Father, we thank you again for this time together today and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, we just pray now that you'd continue to speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, this week. Once again, if we've made a commitment to start our day with reading your word and that's faltered since we first made that commitment a few weeks ago, help us to put that right. Help us not to wait until New Year's Eve so we can make a New Year's commitment and make a New Year's resolution to read the scripture more. Let's do it today. Let's do it right now. And that we'll see a difference. We'll notice a difference in our daily lives. Maybe things won't go smoother for us than normal, but your word will come to our mind, that we'll feel your presence with us more, and maybe some of the difficulties will even make sense in relation to what we've read in that precious word. So Father, help us to form good habits in our spiritual lives so that those good habits become second nature, to the point where we don't even have to think that we have to do it, we just do it naturally. Help us, Lord, to search the scriptures and to apply them to our lives. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together.
chance to talk of it. Help us to hide those precepts in our heart. Help us to dwell on them and meditate upon them, our God. Help us to be about like the Berean believers. Help us to search the scriptures daily as we pray, our God. We read so much that is peripheral to the word of God. So many things that are of no consequence. So many things that are downright harmful. And yet we pray that thou would keep us, Lord, or keep us cleaving to thy word and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys in heaven. We praise thee, our God, that we have a hope to look forward to. And while we're here on this earth, we pray that you will bless each one of us. Bless each one in the meeting this morning, our God. Bless those that are listening online at home. And be with us again, we pray, till the coming week. Bring us back together if the weather is convenient tonight, our God. And bless us again, for we ask that you